We have been speaking about love the last couple of weeks. We've been doing a series on love. This morning, I actually asked, and my heart's cry to the Lord was, Lord, wreck us, wreck us. Now, God wrecked us even before we started with the sermon. When I say wreck us, it's not to hurt us or harm us. That's not the heart. Wreck us is just to shake our boxes. Now, God has obviously been doing that, and we're very thankful that the Lord shake our boxes. I love to recap, especially when we're doing a series, because we're building on something. We're on a journey to get to know God's love even more. We're on a journey to ask the Lord, Lord, the picture of love, the definition of love that I have in my heart and my mind, which is contrary to your word and your spirit, contrary to you because you are love, come and just take that away. Just come and strip that. Are you here to do something or just to come in? Okay, cool. I'm expecting weird things today. So when Wimpy starts walking in, I don't know what's happening. I'm just checking. Okay, cool. Now, I'm not going to go through all the verses. I'm just going to quickly look at what we have discussed the last 4 weeks. And it's just love is firstly the cross of Christ. That is love. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. If you want to know more about that, please go and listen to that sermon. Secondly, we said, and we're going to look at a slight bit of that again today, is that love looks like no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. They're incompatible. They don't stand together. It's like freedom and bondage. We can just see today they're not bound. God loved us first, and that's a nice thing. Religion would love you to perform, to jump through hoops, and then get love as we know it in the world. If you work 9 to 5, or for some of you from 6 till 8, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, constantly, non-stop, and you perform, 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 you get paid. You live. So that's the world's way. Yet God said, no, I called you to love, but guess what? I'm going to perfectly love you first. I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to love on you. And out of that overflow, you'll be able to love, to agape love. We said love is a challenge, and is it even possible? Because we're called to love our enemies. We're called to bless those who persecute us and curse us and despisefully say all kinds of bad things about us. Is love actually possible? And no, it's not possible in this world. It's not possible out of the flesh. But agape love is what? It's possible. Because it is God, and it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the amazing thing is, you don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to drink it your ear or your nose, because it's a fruit of the Spirit. And then last week we said, love's got to look like something. It's not airy-fairy. It's not a cardies card, although that can be an outflow of it. It's not mere words written on a wall. It's not pie in the sky. Love's got to look like something. Love is calling us into action. Love in action, and then love in obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my command. So that, in brief, is just what we've discussed this last 4 or 5 weeks. And hopefully, we've been building upon a new foundation and just a new definition of what love truly is and who love is in our lives. Now, today, we'll look at love again. And we're going to look at the word transcending or transcend. And I said, love looks like it is ever and always transcending. Love looks like it is ever and always transcending. Love is always transcending. Now for me being Afrikaans and all, I had to go check up that I'm not talking nonsense. So the definition of transcend is the following. To rise above... Sounds very nice, but it gets better. Or go beyond the limits of. Remember, we're looking at love in context. And we're saying, and we're going to look at the biblical backing for that, obviously. And we're saying love is ever transcending. Love always transcends. Now, with that in mind, we look at the definition of transcend. To rise above, go beyond the limits of. Sounds a bit like agape love to me. Go beyond the limits of. To triumph over the negative or restrictive aspects of. overcome. To be prior to, beyond, and above the universe or material existence. To outstrip or outdo in some attribute, quality, or power. To outstrip or outdo. Love is transcending. To outstrip or outdo. To overcome. Rise above or extend notably beyond ordinary limits. And just on the next page, I just briefly, they took my favorite ones. Let it be for here. I believe. Thank you. Beyond limits. Beyond limits. Just close your eyes. Think of eternity. That's kind of beyond limits. Freaks me out every time I think about it. Beyond limits. Overcome. Triumph over the negative of, or restrictive aspects. Above. Outdo. Beyond ordinary limits. We're going to look at a video clip now. Remember the context. Love looks like ever and always transcending. Let's look at this video clip. It's 9 minutes long, so keep your focus on, but you'll understand shortly.
Family life was very lacking. I don't remember much of it, because I think I spent a lot of time blocking a lot of it out. Been technically on my own since I was like 10. When I was 13, I got emancipated because it was more lucrative for my father. Yeah, so I had to find work. So I had somebody that was like a father figure to me, but he was also a bookie, and I ran numbers for him. People wouldn't always pay their debts, and so I would go with him, and we would get our money any means possible. It got to a point where, beating somebody up was as easy as breathing, really, and because that's, you lose all kind, you're numb to it. You get numb to it over time. It's no big deal. End up selling cars, and I was really good at that because I'm a master manipulator anyways, at that point in my life, because you had to be. If you're on the streets or this or that, you did what you had to do to survive no matter what. And at that point, I had met somebody, I got married, and I have two beautiful, beautiful children. Life was just kind of going along, we had the big house, nice car. I had some back problems, and I went to the doctor. I started taking pain medication, and I'm an extremist. I don't do anything halfway. And once I got that feeling, I did them all, and then some. As time went on, I lost my house. My significant other at that time, she ended up moving up to Wairika. So at this point, I have nothing left. Not even pictures, not even clothes, not even. And then I wasn't seeing the kids at all, so then I started smoking dope, meth. I covered the pain, At that point, I picked up dealing. I found Clay Street, and it was right up my alley for what I needed to do over there. And, so I was there for a long time, and, it got to a point where, nothing really happened in that neighborhood without me knowing about her, being okay with it. Ran into Bethel, the students were in that neighborhood. So I'd be running drugs all day long, most of the night, but for a good 2-3 hours, I'd end up over at the student's house, and there was didn't matter to them, just didn't matter to them that what I was doing. They loved me fiercely, real fiercely. So then I tried to go to church with them, and I couldn't even sit through a worship service without just bawling. I would have to get up and leave. I had lost all hope that nothing was ever going to change, that I'd never see my children again, that I would never have anything again. So I had actually tried to stop doing drugs, you know, and I couldn't do it. But they didn't condemn me either. They still loved me. And at that point, you know, I had actually, because of them, I'd actually started going to my court dates. And I got I got sentenced. They told me that I was going to go to state prison. And and I got remanded right there. You know, so in other words, I got taken into custody. So I was sitting in holding cell. I said, I told God, I said, you drive, I'll ride, whatever you say goes. And at that point, I really, I gave everything. I gave everything over to him. I just let him take control. And I asked Jesus just to come and just be with me. And within 10 minutes, I got sober. And I never had a withdrawal from any kind of drug. Smoked for 22 years, not even a craving for a cigarette. I remember sitting on my bed, and I asked the Holy Spirit just to come and tell me what's next. And we started a Bible study. That was pretty much what it just kind of all fell into place. And it ended up being so big that for the last 45 minutes before lights out, they would open both tiers so everybody could come out to Bible study. So those Bible studies were pretty powerful. People were getting saved. People were getting just healed of things. To see these men just, they're broken and just, you know, these tough guys just break down and go, wow, you know, what a big God. Finally, I got sent off to High Desert. And yeah, that was, I wasn't scared. I actually remember when we pulled up and getting out, we were at the gate. First time I've ever seen, you know, 12-foot high fences with razor sharp barbed wire all through it. And I looked at it and laughed and was excited to be there, because I knew that God wouldn't be sending me there unless he had something for me to do. I ended up spending so much time with God that I would literally feel the Holy Spirit walk next to me and whisper things in my ears. And about people, for people, for myself. And we had a chapel in there that I volunteered at. I ended up having a lot of favor with inmates and COs, because everything that I said that I was, I walked the walk and talked the talk. I didn't stray from it. And so I did, I taught Celebrate Recovery. I was the head for NAAA, and then another program called CROP, which is Conflict Resolution Option for Peace Program. I didn't have anybody on the outside here, so I didn't have anybody sending me packages in or putting money on my books. But you know what? I never wanted for anything. I always had food. I always had hygiene. I always had this and that. So as I was getting out, I had no idea where I was going to go. I got out on a Saturday, and I couldn't wait to go to church on Sunday. And I went to Twin View, and I just wept. Somebody came up to me and gave me a painting, a prophetic art painting, after the service, that was a sun coming up. This is a new dawn of a new day. I started volunteering as security, doing security there, and just absorbing everything that was around me. About 3 months ago, I had to sit down with the guy that does the hiring for security. Within a day, I did paperwork and they hired me on. At this point in my life, you know, I'm about to marry the most incredible woman in my life that I've ever met in my life. She loves my heart the way it needs to be loved. I've waited my whole life for a love like this. Now, you know, because our God is a God of restoration and reconciliation, that I can go see my children whenever I want to. And I actually have a good friendship. Me and my ex-wife, we have a workable relationship, a talkable relationship. What I want to see is just the most unwanted wanted again. I want to be that face that they reach out to help them really receive the Father's love. You know, Isaiah 61:7 that says that your shame will be replaced with double honor. And I experience that on a daily basis. Doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done. You know what? If you take one step forward, he'll come running. Because I'm living proof that the worst of the worst can become the best of the best.
Love transcends. Love is ever and always transcending. Love can overcome. It's beyond limits. Triumph over negative and restrictive aspects. Above, outdo, beyond ordinary limits. Now this gentleman was, as he said, loved furiously, was loved profusely. Almost wanted to say loved viciously, but he was loved perfectly. Agape by a couple of students. Even though he was not all sorted out, even though probably the spiritual atmosphere around him was not that of absolute peace, the demonic influence would have been great. His habits, his demeanor, and his looks was probably something that can scare even Pietri Fokus. Yeah, that bad. And but love transcended all of that. Love conquered all of that. Today we're just briefly gonna look at love transcending. And three things. And the first thing is enemy obstruction. Love transcends enemy obstruction. Now, in this guy's life, there were so many obstructions out of the flesh that we can name up, of which I've named a couple. There's been so many obstructions in my own life. I can think of many obstructions that could have prohibited love. But the bottom line is, and it doesn't help if I'm going to keep it to the end, but you know there is no obstruction, no lie that can keep love out. I was driving this week around to this is West Coast Village, and there's a play energy drink ad. And I'm not sure about the words, but it boils down to the following. What would you do if you were not afraid? What would you do if you were not afraid? Now you can take that employment if you, or you can take it socially, or you can take it in what you do for extra mural activities. But what is the stuff that you'll do if you weren't afraid? And I want to flip that. I want to use that heart, the heart of that question. And I want to challenge myself and I want to challenge us with the following. How would you love if you were not afraid? How would you love if there weren't any limits? How would you love if you were not afraid? Last week we said that love looks like something. And for that something to be made manifest through us, God's children, for agape love to be made manifest, action need to be taken. And that action comes from a place of relationship with Christ, in other words, obedience. So love's got to look like something, and that something calls us into action. But what is the thing that sometimes keeps us back from stepping over the chicken line, from stepping over and loving in action? What is that thing that sometimes just holds us back? Thing is many times called fear. Now fear, I've heard it said, that also stands for false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. I want to take this gentleman, this American gentleman, and use him just as an example for a moment. If I was a student, a guy with a cunt pikey and a skinny jean and a skateboard, coming up to this guy, and I would be thinner than I am now and a bit smaller, and I come up to this gentleman, False evidence appearing real might be whispering, might be shouting in my ear. And yet there was guys that stood up, and in the face of what they might have feared, in the face of what they might have judged, in the face of what they might have judged to be the status of this gentleman, they decided to love. Love transcended those lies. So if we say that love should transcend enemy obstruction, and we challenge ourselves and say, how would I love if I weren't afraid? What is the enemy's obstruction? What is the enemy's plan here? It's merely the following. We've said it many times before. The enemy is who? The father of lies. In other words, what is prohibiting us from loving? What is prohibiting us from stepping over? What is prohibiting God's love to transcend through that barrier or through that lie? What is it that keeps us back? Scripture tells us, and we've said this a couple of weeks back, is that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Where has God been calling you to love effectively, but you just struggle to get through? Where has that been? There's so much need out there. There's so many of these guys out in this neck of the woods. Yet sometimes, we just need that courage, we need that boldness, we need the faith of God, the truth of God to come, that love can transcend those barriers. Just a quick example out of our own lives. You know the story, so I can't go into the detail again. But God called us out, myself and Edna, in 2009 and said to us, pack up and go, move out to Malmesbury. The verse that I said, God, please give me just confirmation. The verse that God gave me out of Scripture was just, was it in Matthew 9? Yes. Then he said to his disciple, the harvest is abundant, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. That was a confirmation for us that God said to us, move out to Malmesbury. So God spoke to us and he said, the harvest is plenty. And I believe it wasn't only that harvest, it was the harvest of this season as well where we're now in. But he said, there's a harvest, I need workers. So we had the Rhema word. We knew that God spoke to us. We knew that we had to move. We knew what God's plan was. We knew where God wanted to move us to go and out in love. Yet the enemy lies and the temptations of enemy obstruction was just so massive. Firstly, there was my parents-in-law. Now, my parents-in-law is not literally the enemy's obstruction. Please hear my heart. And if they ever do listen to this, please hear my heart. But it's something that stood between me and stepping into God's will. It was something that was between me and stepping in out into going to love people effectively. And then guess what? Another thing. Money. Money was a massive challenge. False evidence appearing real, but Lord, who's going to look after me? So, and you know the story, I kept on looking for a job. For a year, 7 months, I was looking for a job. God said, come. I'm calling you out to go and love. And I'm saying, look, yes, I'm coming. I'm just going to sort out the job with the right salary and I'm there. False evidence appearing real. Who's the enemy? The father of lies. Now, obviously, God had a lot of grace with us. Thirdly, my circumstances. I was quite comfortable in Cape Town. It's not too bad living there, having your own flat, being a lawyer just a stone's throw away, Edna just having a job a stone's throw away. But it was so comfortable. It was so sorted out. Lord, now you're calling us out to this weird and wonderful place to go out and love. We don't even understand what the heck we're doing. But it is quite comfortable over here. Love transcends. By God's grace, and you know the story, He just slowly but surely chiseled our hearts and circumcised our hearts. Because fear and love is irreconcilable. They can't stand together. And even though these cultural and physical material And then fleshly hindrances was massive in my life. God was gracious through his love just to usher us step by step. To say, come. Love will transcend. Love will overcome. Love will break through this thing. And I'm not this perfect picture of love. Please hear my heart. It's just an example. It's an ever ongoing process in my life. But God was loving me out of each and every one of those lies. Loving me out of the lie of culture. Loving me out of the fear of man. Loving me out of the fear of poverty, lack and unbelief, and not having enough. What is the first thing if God says to you, sow your money or sow something into somebody else's life? What's the first thing that comes up in the flesh, up in the mind? I'm not going to have enough. You know what? We've had very little and God will call us to give. And it's difficult. We've had a lot at a stage and in a season in our life, like really a lot. And when God calls me out to give in that stage, it's difficult again. It's never enough. It's never enough for the flesh. But God woos us out of that. Love transcends. Love transcends. Love overcomes. There's no enemy obstruction. And this I'm speaking in faith, and this I'm speaking prophetically. There's no enemy obstruction. And an enemy obstruction, we said, is fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. In other words, lies. That can stand against the will, but especially against the love of God. The only thing that can stand against the love of God, infiltrating, going into those places that God wants. We're back on air. We've just briefly said that love transcends everything, but we do have a free will. We do have a choice to say, no, Lord, love is not going there through me. There was a place, and I'm sure we would have still gone to heaven. We've just probably have missed our calling in life, but there was a place where we could have decided, yes, the harvest is plenty and the workers are few, but Lord, I do have a couple of good arguments of staying put. And we could have done so. Love would not have gone, and we're definitely not the only ones. God can raise up stones to go to Malmesbury. God can raise up stones to come to Shofar Tableview. Hear my heart. But I would have prohibited myself being a vessel, being a conduit of God's divine agape love to the best possible degree that it can be of going there and coming here by my choice. But luckily for me, love was ever transcending in our lives and God was faithful. Even though it took a heck of a long time, it was able to do what God set it out to do. How would you love if you were not afraid? The second thing, love transcends hurt. Love can transcend hurt, offense, bitterness. Love can transcend hurt. I guess, and that's not on the notes, but firstly, just something that comes to mind is that we need to be able to, in spite of the hurt in your heart, in spite of the rejection, in spite of the stuff that's happened to you, physically, emotionally, even spiritually, of stuff that has happened to you, we need to let God love through that. There's no hurt. There's no amount of rejection. There's no sexual abuse. There's no hurt under the sun. And I solemnly believe this. No hurt emotionally, spiritually, or physically. None of these hurts that any man or woman can suffer that can keep God's love out. Nothing. Yet again, it's a place of being vulnerable. Being vulnerable and saying, Lord, I am so hurt, but I'd rather keep on to this hurt than letting any other in. But there's a place of vulnerability in saying, Lord, come on, I'll open up to receive love. Love always transcends. Love can transcend any hurt. Love can transcend any offense. Which brings me to what I just want to quickly show to you in Scripture. We love because because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Whoever loves God, who of you guys loves God? You get the picture. Whoever of us who loves God needs to love our brothers. If you hate your brother, love needs to transcend. Now, brother, in this sense is spiritual, obviously. It's not necessarily your earthly brother, but in this case, it's spiritual. But we are called to love through the hatred, through the hurt. I'm not going to ask you guys to put up your hands, but most, if not all of us, have really suffered massive hurt in our lives, in your physical family, but also in your spiritual family. In your spiritual family, I'm sure I've been offended in church, out of church. I've been offended in ministry, out of ministry. And I've probably offended a couple of people myself. Lord, forgive me. But it does happen. We're in a fallen world. But love will always transcend. Love will always overcome. Love will always pierce through the darkness. Love will always flip the switch and put the light on in any relationship whatsoever. And we're called to love. We are called to love. You can ask Edna. I mean, she's got a testimony and a half of just hurt in her own life. And I've got one, and most of you have. But there comes a moment where you decide and say, Lord, even though it's painful now, rather take out that thorn. Come, rather take out that bullet. Come and take out that knife out of my back, as it, metaphorically speaking, might feel. Rather come and do that so that love can come in. Love can pierce through. Love can come and break. Love can come and switch the light on. Does it make sense, guys? I know it sounds like a bit of a heavy, but love transcends every single lie of the enemy. Love can transcend and go through, pierce through, overcome every single offense under the sun. Thank you, Jesus, for that. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, maintain an intense love for each other. Maintain an intense love. Remember, God is love. An intense love for each other, since love covers a multitude of sins. This is not it wasn't a sermon about church, not at all. But I just realized around this specific area of today's sermon, it's so evident that church is only possible by love. What is the stuff that, let's be honest, what's the stuff that we really get challenged by? Obviously, first in my own home, but also in church. With hurt, offense, misunderstanding. A bunch of stuff. But the word is quite nice in guiding us. Above all, maintain an intense love for each other, since love covers a multitude of sins. Love on people. Love always transcends. Colossians 3:14. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. The perfect bond of unity. How are we going to march together? How are we going to be family-like? How are we going to walk in unity? How are we going to have unity as a fellowship? How are we going to have it in our home? How are we going to have it in our church? How are we going to have it in our small groups? Not how we're going to fake it, how we're going to religion it, how we're going to package it so it looks nice and if there's a visitor we'll look all cool. No. How are we going to have true unity? How are we going to have a blessing there if we put on love? Not once, not twice, but choosing daily love, 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 love. That's what sets us apart from the world, guys. Not necessarily the miracle signs and wonders, because that quite frankly happens out there as well. It's off and it's demonically inspired. I'm all for miracle signs and wonders. Let me just put that the record very straight. And I want more, and I want more of that in our church, godly ones. So I'm not dissing it at all. But the difference between us and the world is not the miracle signs and wonders. It's not the fireworks. It's the love. It's the agape love. It's the ever-piercing, transcending, going through, overcoming, breek enige ding wat voor hom kom, ware liefde. God himself. That's what sets us apart. God. God is love. That's what's going to set our marriages apart. That's what's going to set apart. Now, don't we want to be different, to be holy and self-righteous. We want to be different so that people can be drawn to God, drawn to Christ. But what's going to set my relationship with my daughter apart from the next guy out there is going to be love. Real love, born from the Spirit of God. Love transcends boundaries. Is there any boundary that you can think of that love cannot pierce, that can go over, can go through, can transcend? Is there any boundary? Is there currently a couple of boundaries in our culture? But anyway, that's why I had to go to Mama's Breed to know who blessed Bridges and Vorsi Visser and Casper and Frises. Oh, hey, this is onnodig. Belville Chirpy. Anyway, we're going back to transcending. Love transcends. The question that just rammed in my heart this week when I drove past the billboard was, what would you do if you weren't afraid? And that I can just pop in there and throw in there. Hey guys, what would you have done if you weren't afraid with your lives? And funny enough, what I'm doing right now, that is what I would have been doing if I weren't afraid. And I was very afraid. But if I stuck and if that fear got hold of me and God did not save me, if love didn't come and pierce that fear and that lies out of my system, I would have been a lawyer still. That is not Ralph's story. He's called to be a lawyer in this season. That is my story. But fear would have kept me in business. And I thought, well, I'm going to make enough money, and then in my 50s, with a nice fat nest egg, we'll go into ministry. Thank you, God. But God said, no, that's a lie. That's not me. This is me. Come follow me. Love transcends boundaries. Worldly, earthly, natural, fleshly boundaries. Oh, I love this scripture. It's our fifth week in a love series, and we haven't even touched on 1 Corinthians 13. So there's still lots to come, guys. Woohoo! Oh, there's the freedom shouts going now. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Bam. Boom. It bears all things. How easy is that marriage now? Believes all things. Oh, small group is net a fierce. Hopes all things.
Church is the place to be. Endures all things. Love my neighbors. Love never ends. What is the boundaries of the flesh that's prohibiting you, keeping you from going out to love? The flesh would have loved us all to stay in bed this morning. Am I right? Okay, so only me. Sorry, all the spiritual gurus on that side. Great stuff. But some of us would have loved to stay in bed a bit longer. Especially my wife. The boundaries of comfort. The boundaries of culture and race. How many years of that just haunted our country? But what did love come and do? Love, and what does love still need to do daily? Love transcends. Love overcomes and pierces through racial boundaries, cultural boundaries. What is love calling you to do to pierce through that boundary? To pierce through any lies that the enemy might throw at you in that area. Boundaries of difference. Man, if you get married, there's so many, because you love one another for the stuff that you share. And once you get married, or you go out for a couple of months, I guess, you get to know there's a couple of differences. But what does love have to do? Love's got to transcend the boundaries of differences within marriage. Come smile a little bit, sir. I didn't want to say anything, but now you don't have give me a choice. Yes, Ralph, you don't have to be married to notice differences. Sometimes they come quite quickly. And likewise for you. But hey, guys, that's life. But how awesome is it that the Spirit of truth is in us, the Spirit that gives us love, the Spirit of God is in us, that can enable us, that in spite of difference, in spite of things that can be so freaking different, we can be able to love. Love can transcend, love can pierce, love can overcome. The boundaries of sin, and there's that guy in the video clip, perfect example. If we're all religious and hung up on our own spirituality and the way in which God has touched our lives and the stuff that he's done, we've probably just forgotten where we come from. And probably, except for the drugs, my life probably looked like, and the tattoos, and the beard's a bit shorter, but other than that, there's not much of a difference between me and that oak. And yet, if I see him in the street, will I choose to transcend? Will I choose to love on him the way that God sees him? I've been trying to and asking God to just open up my eyes again to see people the way he sees them. Love transcends your brother's or other people's sins. I love to refer to the world. And it's maybe sometimes in a condescending way, and that's not the heart. We're out to go and love them. It's just to bring a message across. But we need to look at the world through God's eyes, because God's love wants to transcend the boundaries between us and the world. There's one small difference between us and the world out there. It's saying yes to Christ. Receiving the grace of the cross in your life. That's it. So it's nothing more than that. Guys, we're called to transcend the boundaries of sin. The boundaries of denomination. Has that ever played a bit of a part? Maybe more in the platteland, in the countryside, but even here, if you're not doing it exactly the way, if you're not worshipping the way I am, if you're not doing and saying exactly stuff, same stuff that I do, or use our formula, which is in any way not God's heart necessarily. Is there anything wrong? Don't want to trip up, bless. Let me just stand back. God's calling us to transcend the boundaries between denominations. Because guess what? I don't think there's denominations in heaven. I haven't checked lately, but I don't think there's denominations in heaven. Love transcends Christian differences. Boundaries of human logic and wisdom. Love transcends human wisdom. What God called us out to do, move out, leave our jobs, sell everything, etc., etc. went against everything that I humanly possibly thought to be wise, or that many a people would think would be the logical thing to do. Yet God called us out to follow him, because for me, unto me that is wisdom and logic, to rather follow his way than my own. In scripture we even see it, Romans 5:6-8. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the very good man somehow someone would dare even to die. So for a righteous man, and maybe for a very good person, you can die. But guess what? But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, not a good man, not a righteous man, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we received our inheritance through performance, according to the scripture, or if it was by our own means, we would not have deserved it. But yet he said, against human logic, against human performance, against the way in which we sometimes see stuff and do stuff, he said, no, even though they're not that perfect, and even though they're sinners, I'll give my life, I'll lay down my life. That's a transcending way, a piercing way, an overcoming, breaking through way of loving us as mankind. And we're called to be able to do the same. As we're ending off, just love looks like ever and always transcending. Ever and always transcending. To go beyond limits, overcome, triumph over the negative or restrictive aspects, above, outdo, beyond ordinary limits, beyond, 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 further, more, higher, better, stronger. In your life, is there obstructions of the enemy? Is there lies that prohibit you, that's holding back you to either love or receive love? We're going to ask the Holy Spirit just to remind us now. And then, is there any hurt that keeps God's love out of your heart? Or hurt that even keeps love out of a relationship? And then lastly, is there any ungodly boundaries that's keeping you back from loving? If I should come up to you, and we can do it one by one, where and how would you go love if you weren't afraid? Maybe put in a different way. Where or how would you go love if there weren't any of these boundaries? Love transcends. Would you guys stand with me and we can pray? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just revealing God's truth to us in our lives and in our hearts. Thank you, God, for love. God, you are love. There's no situation, no hurt, no boundary, no cultural, fleshly, demonic, spiritually, that you cannot go, that you cannot touch, that you cannot pierce, that you cannot transcend in our lives and through our lives. I just declare it over this church and over us as a people. But I pray, Father God, we ask for specifics. We come to you, Father God, and we just ask, Lord, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, come and make it practical. Come and make it practical in individuals' lives. As I started to pray, I just saw somebody and at the back of you, just like on your right-hand side, I think it's a dark figure, but I believe it's your father, your earthly father. And there's a boundary. There's either an issue for love flowing there or love coming into that situation. There's a situation that needs restoration and love to transcend. So somebody with their father. Lord, we pray into this situation. If that is you and you would like to raise your hand, that speaks to your heart. You can just come forward and we're going to pray for you. There's another, it just comes up, it's that racially there's a struggle for you to, for love to pierce, to transcend. You don't have to come forward, but I do ask that you just pray with somebody. Just that chat to somebody afterwards and just say, hey, I find it difficult that love transcends over racial boundaries. And then there's somebody, I see your back is bent over almost 90 degrees, and I believe it's you've been hurt by authority in your life. So either parents, something, or somebody in school, your government, church, but I just see you're walking bent over because you've been hurt so much by authority, and I believe God wants to transcend that hurt. He wants to transcend and restore godly order. If that's you, would you just come forward? If you believe authority has hurt you to such a degree that you feel so hurt and bent over, I believe God wants to come through and just bring healing and restoration. Then I believe there's somebody with I see your mother. Your mother's heart is very hard. It's almost like a stony heart. And I believe God wants to encourage you that His love can transcend. His love can pierce through that hard heart, that stony heart. But it's somebody's mother or mother-like figure in your life. Her heart towards you has been hard and just, I think, overall hard, but I believe through prayer and just God's anointing, He wants to transcend that hardness. If that is you, would you just come forward, please? If there's anybody. This is a weird, I just get a picture and see like a little child running an athletics race and just falling before the end or the event strip, the end line, just falling over. And this is something that's occurred more in your life than once. And it's like a cycle. You're at a place where you actually don't want to start a race. You just actually don't want to do something with and for the Lord even, or in your life, you don't want to do these things and start this race because you're scared that you might fall or you don't finish it or the wheels just come off before the end. And I believe God just wants to break that lie. Is there anybody that this is speaking to? Might even be for somebody that listens to the audio. But we just thank you, Father God, that you just break that cycle. And I don't know for who it is or if it's something, somebody specific maybe, but I believe there's some of us that's really struggling to love ourselves. God wants to transcend that. He wants to pierce that. If you're hard on yourself, if you've not forgiven yourself, if you've not forgiven yourself for your past, God has. I'm sure He has. But if there's stuff in your past that you're actually holding, knowing or unknowingly been holding against yourself, I believe God wants to break through that. and transcend that lie so that you can receive that love, that you can love yourself. If that is you, please do come forward that we can pray with you. I'm going to end off, and but I do want to encourage you, if there's a situation, a relationship, emotional thing in your life that feels like a mountainous problem, that it seems that it can't be overcome, it's a lie. God's love can transcend God's love can break that. I want to encourage you, come and pray with somebody. Let's bring it into the light, and we trust God Himself, love Himself, to pierce and break through. For love to come in these situations, relationships, or emotional places. Please don't go out here after finishing the business with the Lord. Not with man, but with the Lord. Because I believe there's an anointing that God wants to pierce through, break through. And then, Lord, I just pray that you will anoint us and help us to go love out there like there's no fear. Because there is no fear in love. Come and love us and come and love through us this week and this season to come. Thank you for your blood over us, Christ, and thank you for your protection over us as a church and each and every person in our church. We thank you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.